Thank you. Yeah. First of all, thanks to the organizers for inviting me, some speaker from the LHCb collaboration, and I'm happy to be here on behalf of the LHCb collaboration. The title says LHC flavor physics results. I must admit that this will be heavily biased towards LHCb physics, LHCb flavor physics results, but I'll have some of the results from the ATLAS and CMS collaborations as well. So just to remind you, why is flavor physics actually interesting to stress test the standard model? Well, it's clear that flavor, so the six quark and six lepton flavors, their interactions are at the core of the standard model, and most of the free parameters that are existing in the standard model are related to somehow to flavor processes. And now the idea is that by probing the standard model and looking at various processes involving flavor, we can look for deviations from our standard model expectations, and these hopefully give us a hint what beyond the standard model physics could look like. And so in flavor physics, we're mostly looking at indirect searches, which means we're looking at flavor processes in which we have loop processes, like here, mixing box diagrams or penguin diagrams down here, where we have a loop and hopefully some beyond the standard model particle with its own couplings and phases somehow enters this as a virtual contribution and then changes our predictions. So what we measure compared to what we predict from the standard model. And this is clearly sensitive to energy beyond energy scales, beyond the Collider energies. In this talk, I will limit myself to the B quark system, so B mesons and lambda B baryons. And more or less all the measurements that I'm going to show you work roughly the same way. So we get some theoretical precise prediction, we do a precise experimental measurement, and then we hope that we find discrepancies. And the two paths that I'm going to talk about today are CP violation, or more general CKM unitarity, and very rare decays. And here, hopefully these can help us to understand what BSM physics could look like. So what I'll cover today is, as I said, CP violation and CKM unitarity. I'll talk about measuring CKM matrix elements. I'll talk about CP violation in B mesons and mixing induced CP violation in CKM angles. I will not talk about CP violation in D mesons. I will talk about rare decays and tests of lepton flavor universality. Not talk about top quarks and not about neutrinos. So let's start with CKM unitarity. So you'll see a lot of triangles in the next slides. I'll try to introduce them. So the Khabibov-Kobayashi-Moskva matrix, as you know, is a unitary matrix, which a priori has 18 free parameters, but due to its unitarity has only 3 plus 1 phase. And this one phase is the source for CP violation in the standard model. And now to really do these stress tests of this sector, what we can do, for instance, is we use one of these unitarity conditions where we multiply this first column with the third column and then arrive at this sum of three complex numbers that add up to zero, which we can then represent as a triangle in the complex plane. And so what we do is we take a lot of different inputs. We do a fit, so the CKM fitter group and the UT fit group do that. So they take all these inputs, they get this triangle out, and you see here the different contributions from different measurements. That's back in 1995. So back then there was still a lot of room for inconsistencies in this. And what you then do is you compare this average thing to all the different inputs you have and hope that you see some discrepancy. If you now just fast forward to today, so that's a 2015 plot, you see there are a lot of other measurements that have been added here. So, but there's, well, no real sign for inconsistencies. You could see some here, so you see this apex of the triangle, you see that there are probably some measurements that you do not fully agree, but it's all within uncertainties, looks okay. So why should we bother doing more experimental, measurements of this? So the thing is, the theoretical uncertainties are still much, much smaller than the experimental uncertainties for most of these measurements. So, and we know that from all the other things, from all the other measurements by others, that new physics is not around the corner. It doesn't seem to be around the corner, so we can do even more precise measurements to see if this picture at some point just breaks down. So to start with the CKM triangle measurements, so the measurements of the sides, I will talk about the measurement of VUB BCB. There has been a long-standing issue in the determinations of these matrix elements. So there are two basic methods, inclusive determinations, where you look at inclusive B2CL nu or B2UL nu decays to measure VCB or VUB, and you can use exclusive determinations where you have, where you look at specific B2DL nu or B2PiL nu decays. And in this plot here, you see the value of VUB from exclusive and inclusive measurements as a function of the PDG version in which they appeared. And you see that this inconsistency between these two measurements has just grown over time. And so the question is, where does this come from? From the theory input side, we have different inputs. So for the inclusive determinations, you need to take theoretical input to extrapolate to the full phase space, while for these exclusive determinations, you have to include form factors. So LHCb has recently, and it wasn't planned that LHCb could actually do that, measured the ratio of VUB over BCB using lambda baryons. So that's nice because it's a different system than the B-mesons that have been used by the B-factories. So what you look at is you look at the branching ratio between lambda B to proton mu, which is proportional to VUB squared, and the branching ratio of lambda B to lambda C mu, which is proportional to VCB squared, and then you have to add some form factors in. And, well, the challenging thing here is that we have a neutrino. But we can recover this missing neutrino here by using our secondary vertex resolution, because even if we don't have the neutrino, we still know where the lambda B decays. So we know the momentum vector of the proton and the muon. This helps us to get this transverse momentum to this decay direction of the lambda, and this helps us to recover corrected mass m. And you see here the mass distribution, and this blue thing is the signal in the end. So this has been done, so the measurement of this branching ratio for q squared of mu and nu larger than 15 and 7 for lambda b and lambda b to proton and lambda b to lambda c, respectively, with this value here. And now plugging in these form factors, we arrive at this ratio for the CKM matrices with uncertainties from experiment and lattice QCD at the same level. So you see here the summary of all these measurements. You see here the VUB inclusive band, you see the CB inclusive band, and here the combined region for the inclusive measurements, here the ones for the exclusive ones. The green band here is the LHCb measurement, and here is the indirect prediction more or less for this from the CKM fitter group. And you see that the LHCb measurement clearly is, shows the same discrepancy to the inclusive ones as the exclusive measurements before. Another nice side effect is that this measurement can rule out right-handed current new physics models. So what you see here is in blue the B2 pi L new exclusive measurement of VUB. The inclusive one is in red, and before the LHCb measurement, you see here on the x-axis the amount of right-handed currents that you could put into the standard model. And you see that these favored a small negative, this epsilon r of minus all something, but the lambda b measurement from LHCb actually moves all of this into the direction of zero and disfavors these models. Okay. Then moving to VTD over VTS, so I have talked about this input. Now I'm going to talk about this input, so this CKM angle side. This we can measure from B and BS mixing, because we have here VTD, VTB matrix elements, and so the ratio of delta M over delta MS gives us this proportional to VTD over VTS. And so the mixing frequencies here, so delta MS and delta MD are the mixing frequencies of the B0 and BS system. These are quite well known, so delta MS especially has been measured by LHCb in the DSPi system here. You see the very fast oscillations of the BS system. However, this ratio of the two is limited right now from the uncertainty is limited by lattice calculation input, which you need to transform this into this ratio. And at the, well, the other thing is the oscillation frequency of delta MD, of the B0 meson. And here, LHCb has recently, well, still not published, but is in the process of publishing it, new measurement of delta MD with semileptonic B2 dmu nu decays. So here, the oscillations as a function of the decay time. And if you look here, that's this measurement, so the new delta MD measurement by LHCb, and it's from the uncertainties, it's at the same level as the former average of delta M. Okay, moving now from these CKM sides to CKM phases, I will talk about CP violation in neutral B mesons. So, to measure CP violation in these systems, we need to be able to measure phase differences. And this means we need interferences of contributions with different phases. And the nice thing is that in the neutral B and BS meson, we have different interfering paths. So we could have different oscillators, so BB bar mixing amplitudes that could interfere. We could have different decay amplitudes that could interfere. And we can have interference between direct decay and the decay after mixing. I will start by talking about CP violation in mixing, which is related to the so-called semileptonic asymmetry ASL. Here you probe if the probability or the amplitude for the probability to go from B bar to B is the same as from B to B bar. And you do this by choosing a final state where you know which of the two can actually reach it. So only B0s can reach this one here, and only B bars can reach this one. So all what you measure is coming from the mixing. And what you do is you measure the raw asymmetry. You look how often you have the positive muon, for instance, minus the negative muon. And this is a function of detector asymmetries, production asymmetries, and this ASL parameter. And you can do this in B0s, you can do this in BS, and LHCb has done exactly that. So you see here the ASLS, so from the BS system, and ASLD plane. You see here this D0 measurement, which somehow was in some tension to the standard model point that's here, that's at 0, 0. And you see that the LHCb measurements here and here actually fully agree with the standard model. Now, next step is then the CP violation and the interference of mixing and decay. Here you, as you know, you don't have any, so from the measurements before, you know, and from theory, you know that actually you don't have any interfering amplitudes here. You choose a final state where you have only more or less one dominant decay so that you can actually measure this phase difference between the direct decay, which has this phase, and the decay after mixing, which gives you a mix minus phi dec. And there are two golden modes. One is in the B0 system, that's B0 to J-Psi-K short, where you can measure to beta, where beta is one of these CKM angles, and BS to J-Psi-HH, where you can measure beta S, which is an angle in a different CKM triangle. And you see that the predictions for these phases are very precise. So again, it's an excellent probe for standard model, for the standard model, or for beyond the standard model contributions, which could enter these mixing diagrams. So the sine to beta measurement. There you look at the asymmetry between initial B bars and initial B mesons that decay to the same final state J psi k short as a function of the decay time. And the amplitude of this asymmetry is given by sine to beta. You see here the measured asymmetry as a function of the decay time. And the nice thing here is that LHCb has reached the B factory precisions. So the B factory is actually where, more or less, that was their main goal to measure. LHCb has reached the precision that we hope with run 2 to achieve there the world best measurement. At the same time, sine to beta has had some discrepancy with another measurement, which is the branch ratio of beta tau nu. So what you see here from the CKM fitter, that's more or less if you remove the measurements of the branch ratio of B to tau nu and the measurement of sine to beta from the fit and look what the fitter predicts, you see that there has been a quite large discrepancy between the measurement and the prediction. However, right now, in 2015, due to new measurements of beta tau nu and the sine to beta measurements, these have actually moved far, far closer to each other. So this discrepancy is one of the ones that disappeared, more or less. Then the analogon of sine to beta in the BS system, phi s, can be measured in BS to JPSI KK. This is a bit more complicated because you have a vector-vector final state with a JPSI phi, so you have different angular momenta that you have to account for, which give you different CP eigenstates. So what you do is you do an angular analysis to split up the different contributions from CP even and CP odd P waves. You have an S wave. I'll not go far further into detail, but what you see is that you can really, by doing this angular analysis, differentiate between the three, four contributions you have there. And then you have a different measurement from JPSI pi pi, where you can measure phi s as well. There, the complication comes that you have to understand the pi pi mass spectrum and all the resonance that play a role there. However, if you combine these two, you arrive at this LHCb measurement. So you see here the measurement of delta gamma s, which is the Dekay-Witz difference in the BS system, and phi s, which is the CP violation phase. And you see that the LHCb measurement, as well as the CMS, ATLAS, CDF, D0 measurements, all agree very well with the standard model prediction. However, you have to look at this number here, which is the current average and the uncertainties on it. And if you compare this to the current predictions, you see that we're still far, far off from the experimental uncertainty. So it still could fluctuate away, and it could be in conflict with the standard model prediction. So the last CP violation part that I will talk about is the gamma, CKM angle gamma, which is this one here. It's the only CP violating parameter that you can determine from tree diagrams, and that's quite interesting because then you can compare it to quantities that are measured in loop. So that's the constraints for the CKM. For the CKM triangle from loops. Here are the ones from trees. You can see if there is any discrepancy. Right now you see that, well, it's all within uncertainties. It really looks okay. And here LHCb has as well measured a new, has updated the combination of B2DK DKs that are sensitive to gamma, so because each single measurement is not very constraining, you combine all of them, that's what you see here. Here are the different constraints from BS decays, B0 decays, B plus decays, and the combination which is shown here as well. And this gives the most precise measurement of gamma so far. Now, if you look to the global CKM fit, so I would like to give an intermediate conclusion more or less to this, you see that still, even with the new measurements, everything is extremely consistent. So there's, if you look at the pools of these different inputs, so what you do is you do the fit once without this input, you do the fit, and you compare the prediction with the value you have from the measurements, and you see that all of these pools are really beyond, below 3 sigma, so there's nothing striking there. Now moving to rare decays, and very rare decays, specifically BS 2 mu mu and B0 2 mu mu, these are decays that are heavily suppressed in the standard model due to, it's a B2S transition that you have to have there. This can only be achieved by loop processes. Then you have an additional suppression due to helicity. And so the theoretical predictions are quite precise with 10% uncertainties. And these branching ratios are at the level of 10 to the minus 9 and 10 to the minus 10. At the same time, it's a clean experimental signature, and it has been searched for a long, long time. So this is the year in which these different measurements have been performed, and you see that only now with the LHC experiments we actually reached these theoretical predictions here. And so there, the most recent results are the combined results from CMS and LHCb, which led to the first observation of BS to mu mu, which is given here. So you see here the invariant mass, and that's the BS component. The first evidence for B0 to mu mu, which is this blue component here. And if you look at the 2D plane, you see that this measurement is, again, within 2 sigma in agreement with the standard model. If you look at the single branching ratios for BS to mu mu, you see that it's as well compatible with the standard model, so that's the minimum. While for B0 to mu mu, we see that there's an excess at the level of 2.3 sigma, roughly, which is still, at those small numbers, not really a smoking gun, but it might give you a hint on where to look. And then there's a preliminary result from ATLAS. So you see here the dimuon mass spectrum. Just want to say that, as well, the ATLAS results are compatible with LHCb and CMS so far. And to give you an idea on how well these measurements constrain beyond the standard model models, in particular MSSM, there's this nice plot where you see the branching ratio of B0 to mu mu and branching ratio of BS to mu mu for different MSSM models. That's the parameter space, and that's in the end what the current measurement tells you. And this, well, it doesn't rule them out, but it just tells you, okay, it's probably very standard model-like, everything here. Okay, another interesting measurement is the full angular analysis of B0 to K-star mu mu. Here again, we have FCNCs. And what we can do is we can do an angular analysis of this as a function of Q squared, so of the invariant mass squared of the mu mu system. This again is very sensitive to new physics and its decay rates, angular distributions, asymmetries. It's a clean signature, and the theoretical predictions are quite clean as well. So just to give you an idea how this looks for different Q squared bins of mu mu, you look at this distribution and you measure these different observables, which are functions, which are parameters in front of functions that are depending on all these angles between the decay planes and so on. And now many of these, the predictions for these observables depend on B2K form factors and are therefore not ideally theoretically clean. So one of the ideas was to use observables that are where form factors cancel at leading order, like this P5 prime parameter, which is this ratio of S5 and the square root of FL1 times 1 minus FL here. And so what you find is that in all these observables and observable bases, actually everything seems to be quite compatible with the standard model, except for this P5 prime observable. So in black, you see the measurements by LHCb. In green, the new recent measurement by Bell. Here in orange, you see the standard model predictions from these people here. And you see that in 2 bins, there is a deviation from the standard model. And at 2.8 and 3 sigma, and Bell really sees this as well. And the question now is this really new physics, or do we have problems understanding the standard model? And by now, there have been a lot of other measurements by CMS, CDF, and Babar, but as well measure these FL, AFB as a function of Q squared, and B2K star mu mu. So you could, what you could do as well, you go to other B2S branching ratios, like lambda B to lambda mu mu, which is interesting, again, because it's a different system, a baryonic system. So what you see here is a branching ratio as a function of Q squared. In blue, the standard model prediction, and again, you see that there is a small deviation here. The same holds for BS to phi mu mu, where you see as well a small deviation. Interesting is that for both of these decays, the angular observables seem to be fully compatible with the standard model. So it's unclear, at least to most of us, how this actually comes. Okay, moving to the last topic, which is lepton flavor universality. There is one quite straightforward test, which is looking at the quantity RK, which is the ratio of the branching fraction of B plus to K mu mu compared to B plus to K EE. And this, again, has a standard model expectation that's very nicely, precisely known at 1.0, roughly. And here, LHCb sees a discrepancy as well from the standard model expectation. So we see a deficit in this Q squared bin. And well, you see that Babar and Bell here did not really help So the uncertainties are still quite large, so we need more statistics to understand this. Or we can look into different modes. One of these modes is B to D star L mu. So again, you compare the decay of B to D tau to the decay of B0 to D mu. In our case, you see that here again, we have theory predictions that are quite precise. And now looking at this plot here, you see the RD star versus RD plane. In this turquoise blue, you see the LHCb measurement of RD star. Then you see the Babar and the Bell measurement here. Then that's the HFAG average of all these measurements. And this is in clear contrast to what the standard model expectations tell you, which is this pink spot down here. So the overall tension of this RD, RD star is at the level of 4 sigma. The single contributions are at the level of 1.9 and 3.3 sigma. So coming to my conclusion and outlook, I hope that I could convince you that flavor physics is a very good test bed for standard model stress testing. There's a multitude of observables, so you can imagine there are a lot of other measurements that I didn't show you, but all of these are linked to a small number of standard model parameters. And by cross-checking the different measurements and cross-validating these measurements, we can understand something about, at least if we understand the standard model. So far, all the measurements that we have do not show any smoking gun, but there are several interesting discrepancies like this left of flavor violation, this P5 prime, this branching fraction of B0 to mu mu, which is a bit large, the VUB inclusive and exclusive things. But what you need to keep in mind as well is we, as LHCb alone, have published more than 300 papers. So it's quite obvious that you'll see some discrepancies just out of statistical arguments. So overall, you still have to say it's pretty consistent. So it will be interesting to see what LHC and LHCb and Atlas and CMS will show us with run 2. We hope to increase the statistics with run 2 at 4 times the statistics of run 1. And yeah, let's see what comes. Thanks.
Overview, when we have a question.
So I was wondering for this flavor anomaly, the EB plus to K plus mu mu versus EE, do you have ability to actually measure K plus tau tau?
I think, no, don't know. It's hard because you have two neutrinos and it's, I guess, no.
In a related question, why is the branching fraction of muons higher than electrons? I would have thought phase space would have put it in the other direction.
You mean in the prediction?
Yeah.
Well, I would say at these uncertainties, it's probably it doesn't matter. Good point, but I guess it's. I'd have to look into the theory paper.
Any other questions?
Well, so on your last slide, are you telling us we have to wait to 2018 before we will see new results from LHCb?
It's an interesting discussion that's ongoing. If we'll update, what will update with the partial run 2 data set that we have right now? And what, so the question is, I think, is a manpower timescale thing. 2018 is not so far away, and you have to re-understand everything. So it's, well, some of the, I know that for some of the measurements we'll probably really wait until 2018. Some of them will just publish new updates, but I can't tell you in detail which ones will be ready at which time.
More questions for Julia? Just maybe a very quick one on slide 37. I just was wondering, the theory prediction doesn't go for the last two bins. Do you know what it is there?
No, I have to admit, I don't know the details here, where they are.
What is your question? The theory prediction, you see, what? For the last two measurements, why is it not there?
Okay, but these are
you
here,
cannot,
right?
You cannot calculate it there?
So they can't be calculated in these two bins as well? Because they are cut out from the experiment as well, right? So. Yeah, probably.
Oh, sorry, I should. I'm dreaming. Could you repeat you?
As far as I understand it, the people who did this prediction, they were using a method which only works for low Q squared. So that's why they didn't produce it for high Q squared.
I think there are predictions. There are predictions. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, so let's thank Julian again.
Thank you.